Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your unchanging and eternal faithfulness to us through all seasons of life. Grow our own faithfulness to you during the rest of this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
But I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward, and she is going to share with us what's happening here coming up in the month of September. And so, Rachel, if you would please share.
Hello. So every year we have a fantastic outreach, the Vacation Bible School outreach. And it's a blessing because some of these kids don't come to church. So this is their only church outlet is to come to VBS, and they get to invite Christ to live in their heart. So we're going to have a follow-up for the kindergarten through fourth grade. It's going to be September 15th. So not far away, just a little bit over a month. And it's going to be 4 to 7. So some of the things we're going to do is we're going to have a treasure hunt with the kids, be Jesus-centered. And we're going to have a dinner for them. And it's going to be set up a lot like VBS with the stations. And it's in the evening on a Saturday. So I know some people have always wanted to help with Vacation Bible School, but it's in the mornings during the week. So anyone is welcome to help. So feel free to sign up. The bulletins, I think, must be out in the fellowship hall. Oh, the clipboards are going around right now. Oh, never mind. They're going around. So three ways that you guys can be a part of this outreach is to share it, because it's a new thing. We have never done this before. We've never had a post-VBS follow-up. So be sure to share it with any little kids or any parents that you come in contact with, a volunteer. Anyone who feels God-led, you're more than welcome to volunteer. We always have a spot for everyone. And, of course, pray. Just pray that the hearts are reached and that we just lift up the community and help make God's kingdom stronger.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. I am going to, I'm going to call Carol up here. And Carol from Spitnell from Faith United Methodist Church, she is going to share about a ministry, and last year we partnered with Faith in this ministry. Friends, it's hard to believe this is the middle of August already, and it won't be long before Labor Day is upon us. And so, Carol, if you would please share with us once again what's going on over Labor Day weekend and how we can be a part of that.
Well, on Labor Day weekend, since 2011, we have had a tent out at Scrap, a hospitality tent, where people can stop in and get a drink of water. There's a few chairs they can rest if they need to. The last couple years, the weather's been a little better, so we haven't needed quite so much as those first few years. But we also have a baby changing area, and we have a little spot in the back partitioned off where a nursing mom can come in and have privacy to nurse her little baby. And we have a need for help with that to man the tent this year. We do 2.5 hour shifts starting on Friday because Scrap is now 4 days instead of three like it used to be. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just Monday morning as far as our tent is concerned. But if you would be interested in helping out for any of those 2.5 hour shifts, I left my clipboard down at Faith. So Jim just went down to get it because we have some of the spots filled. But if there is anyone here who'd be interested in filling one of those places, we'd love to have your help. So see me afterwards. Jim will have the clipboard back here by then.
All right. Thank you, Carol. And then I'm going to ask Valerie to come forward as she's coming forward. If you're here and if you're visiting with us, there is a visitor card in the pew. Please take time to fill that out and then put that in the offering plate. And then Valerie is going to share with us here.
Hello. This is just like I wanted everyone to know that on September 9th, it's a Sunday, September 9th, we're going to have a congregational meeting during worship service. So not after worship service, but it'll be during worship service. And the lead team will come forth, and we'll let you know a little bit more as time goes on. But this is just kind of a preface so that if you can be here on the 9th, we'd love for you to be here to hear and talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. think I'm bouncing back and forth between both sides here. We are going to dismiss Children's Church for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for them. And you can go with Nikki, and I am sure that you will be blessed. And now, if we would turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Today's text is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, found on page 1655. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. At this time, we will take up our tithes and offerings if the ushers will come forward.
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series titled Captured by Love, and we find ourselves in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. What I want to do this morning is I want to spend some time with some of the background, and then I want to get to several application points eventually for our lives, your life and mine. But before we get there, I have a question for everyone. And my question is I'm wondering if you've ever been in a situation where you've felt totally helpless, totally hopeless. I wonder if you have been in a situation where you suddenly realized that all the money that you had would not change that situation. I wonder if you have been in a situation where you have spoken to an individual who have been caught up in the throes of addiction or struggled with some besetting sin or gone through a tragedy, and you suddenly realized, there is nothing that I can do to fix this. There's nothing that I can give to them to change their situation. I don't know about you, but it seems like with what I do, what God has called me to in ministry, I talk to people on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And it seems like I come across people where I am suddenly brought face to face with the inability to change their reality. Can I say that again? I am constantly brought face to face with my inability to change their reality. Our text this morning is the feeding of the 5,000, and it's the only miracle that Jesus did that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. And so I just share with you the importance of this text, because all 4 Gospel authors, all 4 Gospel writers, they give this account of this miracle. And I truly believe, friends, that there's a message for you and for me, and it's a message for today. It's a message for your life and a message for my life. The setting is this, as Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he's crawling up, or not crawling, but climbing up a mountain, getting ready to spend some time probably teaching with his disciples. Now, the word had gotten out about all the miracles that Jesus had been doing, and so the crowds, they didn't have a way across, and so they started beginning to follow Jesus going the long way around. And so picture this. Jesus is on the top of a mountain, or up the side of a mountain. His disciples are right there, and then they all turn, and they see these thousands and thousands of people coming around the shore, coming towards them. Now, the intensity is not just 5,000, friends, because in the ancient text, they only counted men, and I'm not saying that's a right thing to do, but that's really what they did. And so, in all reality, if you were to add the women and the children in there, you're probably upwards of 20,000 plus people that were coming towards Jesus and his disciples. Picture that. Jesus is God. He knows all. And in the midst of this, Jesus turns to one of his disciples, Philip, and he says, "Where can we go to get them something to eat?" You see, our first point of application this morning is that God will always invite you and me to participate in what he wants to do. You see, Jesus is God. He's fully man and fully God, and he knew what he was about to do. He knew that he could feed them if he wanted to. God is the same God that caused manna to fall from heaven with the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt. He's the same God that could perform a miracle. Jesus knew what he was about to do, and yet he invited Philip to be a part of this. Now, sadly, Philip has the same tendency that a lot of us have. Philip begins to do the math in his mind. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because I'm here to tell you, you know, if you're like me, you know, I'm a fixer, and us guys, I'm here to tell you, if you're like me, we like to fix things, do we not? And how we fix things is we sit down and we look at it, the numbers, and we say, hey, we can do this, and uh-oh, we're in trouble. We don't have enough money to do this. And that's exactly where Philip got to. He says, Lord, there's not enough money for 8 months' wages. Now, back in the day, one denarii was worked, you know, if a man or a woman worked one day, a full day, they received one denarii. So what Philip was talking about is he was talking about, if I were to work for 8 months straight, there still would not be enough money to feed all of these people a few bites. I wonder if you're like me, if you've ever found yourself in a position where you realize there is nothing that you can do. I wonder if you've come face to face with someone who is struggling so bad that you cannot fix it. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can say to change their reality. There is nothing in the power and control that you have been given by Almighty God over your sphere of influence to change the reality. If you're like me, you've experienced that. It's a helpless feeling, friends. It's a helpless feeling. And so Philip, he begins this dialogue with Jesus, and yet Jesus, all-knowing, he knew there wasn't enough money there, and yet he invited Philip to be a part of the solution. He invited Philip to encounter Jesus, to engage in a dialogue with Jesus, and he invites you and me to participate with what he wants to do in this world. He has that invitation standing, ready and open. If we would just respond. If we would just respond. If we would just respond. You see, that's the beauty of the God that we serve. That's the wonder of the God that we worship. He's a risen God. He's the Messiah. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's all that is in between. And he invites the crown of creation, and that is you, my friends. You are the crown of creation, to participate with what he wants to do. But our tendency is to look at the numbers. Our tendency is to look at the balance sheets. Now, being self-employed for 20-plus years, I'm very accustomed to looking at the numbers. Being in insurance, I'm very accustomed to looking at the loss ratios and all the different numbers. That's my nature. That's how I've been trained, to look at the bottom line, to look at the numbers. In my own personal life, my wife will tell you, if we're talking about doing something, I'm going to the checkbook. I want to know. Do we have the ability and do we have the what we're talking about? Is that a realistic thing that we can do? I want to know the numbers. You see, friends, that's human nature. Human nature is to look and to see what the potential is, and our tendency is to look and look at how many resources we have. But can I say that the God that we serve is not limited by earthly resources? Can I say that? Can I say that God, the Savior that we worship, Jesus, the Messiah, the coming King, the first and the last, He is not limited to how many denarii we have in our bank? Can I say that? You see, that's our tendency. That's not God's tendency. That's not what God operates by. He does not operate by the ways of this world. He is all sovereign over everything. We need to recognize our tendency. Because when we get caught up in that tendency, friends, then what we do is we step back. And I believe Philip stepped back and he says, there's nothing that I can do. I can't even affect this situation, Lord. There's 20,000 people here. There's nothing that we can do to feed them all. Have you been there? Have you been there? I've been there. I've been there time and time again. Have you been there, my friends? You see, if we read a little bit further and we read the next verse, we're introduced to a man. His name is Andrew. And all through the Gospels, you know the interesting thing about Andrew is that we always see him bringing somebody to Jesus. Check me on that. Read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's always bringing somebody to Jesus. He's not limited by resources, by money, by anything. He's the one that brought Simon Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And yet we have Andrew here. And Andrew is looking at it, and he's probably kind of like, I don't know if this even makes sense, but Lord, I've checked the masses. I've checked the crowd, and all I found was this young lad. See, God invites us to participate, not on our terms, but on His terms. And so Andrew finally says, Lord, all I have is this young man. But he doesn't have much. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, let me explain this to you. The 2 small fishes were probably used to eat as a snack, and they were probably a sardine size or smaller than a sardine. So picture that. The barley loaves were probably barley cakes. And there's a historian, his name is Josephus, and he was a Jewish historian, and so he wrote this. He said, barley cakes are not even fit for the poorest of the poor to eat. So basically, Andrew's bringing this young man to Jesus, and he's saying, this is all the food that I've got, and quite frankly, Jesus, it's not even good food. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been there? Where the world's pressing in and saying, you know what, you got to measure up. You have to have the best of the best, and you have to look a certain way, and you have to drive this, and you have to live here. Have you been there? Have you been there when you've talked with somebody and they're struggling and you know that there is nothing you can do to change their reality? Have you been there? Have you been there when you're talking with somebody or you've seen something and you know that what you have to offer really isn't even that good in the first place? Have you been there? Have you struggled with the shame and the embarrassment? Have you been there? I've been there. I'll be there again before it's all said and done, probably numerous times, probably a multitude of times, probably many times. Have you been there? I have. You see, the whole message and intent and focus of this message is this. Love offers what you have, and it gives it to Jesus. and Jesus multiplies it. Have you been there? Have you been in a situation where all you have to offer someone is to pray for them? Have you been there? Have you been in a situation where all you can do is give somebody your time and you feel so inadequate that you know you can't change their destiny and their reality, and you give it? This morning I brought two things, and this is where I'm going to close. There are several of you here, and some of you might even recognize this folder. One of the situations that I found myself in was in the end of 2014, where a group of us went down to Zihuatanejo, Mexico. And we worked for a couple days in the village, the city dump. Now, you got to understand that growing up, I grew up on a farm, and we had several hundred acres, and we had dumps on our farm. We really did. You know, we would take the glass, and we would take the broken things, and we would take it out there, and, you know, the old tires and all that. And I'm not saying if the EPA would find out, we'd probably be all in trouble, you know. But, you know, back in the day, that's kind of what you did, you know, and that's what we did. This is not that kind of dump. The stench of the sulfur still is in my mind. The seagulls just flying incessantly is in my mind. The rumbling and the roar of the dump trucks, the garbage trucks, the pickup trucks filled with garbage running into that dump 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is still in my mind. But what really is in my mind is the 60-some-odd families that called that place home. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place where you know all the money in the world couldn't change their reality? Have you ever been there? You see, true love gives what you have, and then God multiplies it. We were shown into the schoolhouse, and the mission and the ministry, their basically intent and their purpose and their mission was to, they had a retired school teacher that came up, and they built a one-room schoolhouse, and they were telling these families that the way out of the dump was through education. You see, their job was to pick through the trash and find the recyclables, and then they would haul these recyclables down to the bottom of the mountain, and then they would sell them to the recycling centers at the bottom of the mountain. They had no running water, they had no electricity. And so then, to get food, they had to take the money, and they had to go to restaurants, and they had to buy takeout, which was more expensive. And so it was this generational cycle. Have you been in a situation where you realize there's nothing you can do to change their reality? And so during those couple days that we were there, what we did is several of you who were with on the same team were with us. We showed them a movie, and we fed them a hot dog and potato chips and some other food. A hot dog, nonetheless. Lord, we got food, but it's not good food. Have you been there? We'll give you what we got, but it's really not that good. Have you been there? And so we gave what we had, and friends, what we gave was God's love. Can I say that? What we gave was God's love. This morning I was in my prayer, and God put this on my heart to get two things, and one's a grocery bag, and it's sitting up here, and I'll explain that here in a moment. And this folder was a second. Now, Kathy and I moved into our place a year ago, and truth be told, we're still unpacking, okay? So about 6:30 this morning, I'm in prayer, and God says, go get the blue folder. Okay, Lord, I don't know where the blue folder is. Which box? And so I'm upstairs rumbling through boxes. Kathy gets up, and she's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for a blue folder. She's like, what are you looking for a blue folder for? I said, you'll understand. You see, friends, we were at the airport, and the teacher comes up to me. And she hands me this folder. She says, here, this is for you. And I believe all the members of the team, I allowed you all to take one of these. I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But my intent was not to hoard them, okay? I'll just share that. And so she hands me this folder. Now, true love basically gives what you have, and it lets God multiply it. And after we went back, I opened up this folder, And I began to look at these. And I believe we talked about them for a period of time. And this is what the teacher said. The teacher said, "This is not much, but you have blessed us so much by coming here and being with us that the kids wanted to do something and give to you. And this is what they made for you." And so, friends, there are a multitude of these cards in this folder. Have you been to a place where you felt so inadequate that what you had to offer? You see, in America, what we think we have to have is we think that we have to have all the answers. We think that we have to change the reality of all people. And friends, we can't. The best thing that you can give to somebody is God's love. Can I say that again? The best thing that you can give to somebody is the love of God. Those 2 days that we spent in that dump, those kids have nothing. Now, I'm not an artist, but I'm going to tell you, there's some artists in there. There's some talented kids to draw what they drew. You see, if we get mired down on the resources and the bottom line, the finances and all of this, and some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, is this about money? No, it's not about money. It's about bringing what you have to God and letting Him multiply it. Several years ago, a gentleman by the name of Jim, this is an Aldi's grocery bag, okay? An Aldi's grocery bag. Jim's his first name. He has since gone on to be with Jesus. And at the top, it says, "Grocery bag of sermon basics." Some days, I think I need to read this more than once. Now, Jim was not a preacher. He was not a pastor. He was a self-proclaimed ditch digger. He was an excavator. He was a business owner. He sat down with me and gave me his time one day. And he wrote down all of these things. He said, "Here's some notes." You see, the miracle of love is that we bring what we have to Jesus and we let Him multiply it. We let Him take it and use it for His glory. Now that's 2014. This is probably 2012. 6 years I've hung on to this. I don't think Jim ever expected me to hang on to this grocery bag for 6 years. But friends, it's more than a grocery bag. In Mexico, it was more than hot dogs and chips and punch. It was the presence of God and God's love that we took to those people. God invites you to do the same. Can I get an amen? God invites you and me to do the same, to participate. But our tendency is to get stuck in what we don't have. 70% of all humans' thoughts are negative. Can I say that again? 70% of all thoughts that you and I have tend to be on the negative side. That means 3 out of 10 are positive. And so we have more of a tendency to look at what we don't have than what God can do with what we do have. You might sit here and say, "But I don't have this." That's fine. What do you have? We all have time. We all have, you know, the love of God. We all have the ability to sit down and give people our ears to listen to them. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I can't do that. I don't have the ability. I don't have the time. My work is just swamping me." A bulletin insert. There's numerous ways. You might be here and be a tradesman. I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, I'm a teacher. You know what? I don't have this to offer. But what I can do is I can connect with the trustees and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter. I can do this and I can head up this." The love says this, friends. I may not have all that everybody needs, but I'm going to bring Jesus what I do have. And what I do have, it may not even be good food, but I'm going to still bring it and say, "Lord, take it, use it. Here it is." And the miracle of love is that God will multiply that. He'll multiply it. These cards up here, I get the newsletters from the ministry down there. I don't know where those kids are at. I hope and I pray for them. I hope they find the new reality. I hope that the ministry blesses them and impacts them in such a way. But the message for you and for me is to bring to Jesus what you have and let him multiply it. And as I mentioned, what does that look like? It looks like getting away from getting stymied by thinking of what you don't have and saying, you know what? All I can do is pray for you. Let's pray right now. Are you aware that this is the reason why Jesus said, greater things will you do than I have done? Talking about you and me. In American culture, what we have done is we have created chaplaincy pastorates. That's what we've done. And a chaplaincy pastorate, now I was a chaplain for many years. It says this, the pastor does everything. Well, if everybody is dependent upon me to sit there and listen to them, to pray for them, we're in trouble, friends. We are in trouble because there's not enough time in the day. I don't have enough energy. My role is to equip you for the work of the ministry. My role is to empower you for the work of the ministry. And ministry, friends, is simply saying, hey, let's get a cup of tea. Let's get a cup of coffee. Let's sit down and let's talk. Let's pray. Ministry, friends, is saying, I don't have much, but I'm going to give you what I do have. Wisdom, counsel, experience. That, my friends, is ministry. And that's the very reason why Jesus said, greater things will you do than what I have done. Because you and I, we can be in a multitude of different places. And Jesus, while he was walking on this earth, he could be in one place at one time. So all the Christians all around the world, if we have this concept of ministry, I don't have much, but I'm going to take what I have and give it to God and let him bless it. What would this world look like? Amazing. New reality. So my challenge for all of us, to bring what we have to Jesus. It may have to start with your heart and mind and say, Lord, all I have is my heart. That's okay. It might have to start and say, Lord, I don't know where to start. So you begin to pray and you say, Lord, bring somebody across my path. That's okay. I've prayed those prayers, and you better get ready if you do, because you will come across people who need you, and they need God that lives in you. What an incredible opportunity to be invited to walk with Jesus, to bring what we have to him and say, Jesus, take it, use it, multiply it. Amen? May we all stop looking at what we don't have, and may we look at what God has blessed us with. Things, time, listen, counsel, all those intangibles, and God will multiply them and he will bless them if you would just bring them to him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Father, we thank you for inviting us to participate with what you want to do in this world. Lord, we recognize that our tendency is to get caught up in looking at the bottom line, at the finances, at the situation, whatever it is, the lack of time. We recognize our tendency says, we come to you and say, Lord, I don't have this. I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. I can't do that. Father, forgive us for that. May you open our eyes to see what you want us to see the blessed gift that you have blessed us with, the gift of love, your love. Your word tells us that you pour out your love into all of our hearts. Father, help us to deal with those times that we feel so inadequate. And Lord, may you take what little we do have and use it and multiply it all for your glory, O Christ. We thank you, we praise you, and we honor you, and we bless you now. In the holy name of the risen Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship, if you would please stand and turn in your hymnal or sing from the screen, hymn number 519, Love Lifted Me. I'm going to ask Joe and Jill to come forward here real quick. There's quite a story with this young lady, and she is going to be having surgery here at the end of this week, heart surgery. And so, if Valerie, if you want to come forward, and Avery, if you want to come forward, and right where you're at, I want to just pray over Claire real quick. And so, Valerie, if you would, lead us in prayer.
Oh, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, what a beautiful, beautiful gift you have given us in Claire. I think of her all the time as our sparkle. Shines your light, Lord, and we thank you for her. We thank you how you watch over her and keep her, and that you will be with her and Jill and Joe during this surgery, that, Father God, you will guide all who care for her. I pray that they love you and they love her, and that all things will go just as you have planned, Lord. And so, Claire, you will be a mighty warrior of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, blessed by him, used by him in mighty ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We are going to dismiss here. And friends, you know, I would just challenge all of us. Sometimes there's nothing that we can do to change a situation, but we can give what we have. We can pray. We can give people our time. I challenge you all, Trinity United Methodist Church, this next week, as you go throughout your way and journey of life, that you would give away God's love to those that he brings across your path by giving of your time, by giving of your wisdom, by giving of your counsel, by giving of your prayers for those people who are in need. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Trinity, you are sent. Give away God's love. Amen.